Do you find yourself feeling anxious about the future? Concerned about what is coming up next? Sometimes we may lose that feeling of control over our life. It makes us uncomfortable. Today, Jesus is going to calm us with comforting words, reminding us who is really in control. Do you need comfort? Do you feel like you've lost control? Listen to the answers to this problem today in the book of Luke.
Tomorrow morning, when you get up and when you leave your house, when you're walking out your front door in the morning, if you pay close attention, I think you're going to notice two things. They're there every morning. You just may not pay attention to them. The first is that if you listen carefully, you're going to notice the birds singing. And those birds are not stressed out about how they're going to pay the mortgage today. They're not worried about where the money's going to come from to buy the groceries. In fact, those birds are created by God and they're singing praises to God. You're going to hear that when you walk out the doors in the morning. And then if you watch your next door neighbors when they walk out the door tomorrow morning, you're going to find something very different. You're probably going to see somebody who's walking out the door stressed out about the problems of life. They're concerned about the mortgage. They're worried about how they're going to raise the money to pay the bills. They're stressed about paying for their children's education or just taking care of the everyday cares of life. Look at their children. And you'll see somebody who's concerned about the big test that's coming up this week. You're going to see somebody who's worried about the stress in the classroom. And you're going to notice something very, maybe I'm painting a picture of you when you walk out the door tomorrow morning. Very different than the way God created things, the way things are supposed to be. Today, my name is Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're studying through the book of Luke. And today, the subject is worry and greed. And really, what Jesus is going to do for us today is explain to us from Luke chapter 12 why it's wrong to worry. Now, this passage is, if you were with us last week, I told you that this passage is kind of like a version 2.0 of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus talking to people when he gets to the big city of Jerusalem about what the kingdom of God is like. And he's trying to get people, you and I today, to take your eyes off of the physical world for just a second. And remember, there is a spiritual world out there. And one of these days, we will all dwell eternally in a spiritual place that will eventually become a physical place. So here's the deal today. I'm going to give it to you really simply. The topic that Jesus discusses with us today, the idea of greed and worry, it's simple. A first grader can figure out what Jesus is talking about today. You don't have to have any experience walking with Jesus, and this is us today. It's really simple to understand, but it's really, really hard to do. Because the truth is, what Jesus is going to do for us today is to describe a war that's going on inside of you. It's going on inside of me. It's probably going inside of every person on planet Earth right now. This is the struggle between the here and the hereafter. It's a struggle between how you believe and what you believe and how you behave. And everybody struggles with this from time to time. So today, Jesus is going to give us two very elementary, very simple challenges from Scripture. They're found in Luke chapter 12. And if you're following along in that worship guide, here's the first thing that I want you to write down. Live for more than just money. Easy to say, Jeff. Really hard to do. Because let's just be honest. What Jesus is going to ask of us today is scary. If we put it into practice, what he asks of us today, the real scary part is, what happens if Jesus doesn't show up and help out? How do I pay the bills? How do I pay my mortgage if God doesn't do what he says he's going to do for me? And that's where it gets scary. We're in Luke chapter 12. If you're joining us for the first time today, we're going to put some sermon, the notes of scripture up there on the screen. Or if you've got that mobile app, you can click on today's sermon. Here's where we're going to start in verse 13. This is the setup for the live for more than just money today. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher," speaking to Jesus, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" And then he said to everybody in the crowd, "Beware, guard against," look at this phrase, "every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. And then he told them this story. Try to drive the point home a little bit. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have enough room for all my crop. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and other goods, and I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat and drink and be merry. Warning, here's the setup. Look at what Jesus says next. But God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. And then who will get everything you've worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth. Look at this phrase. But not to have a rich relationship with God. Live for more than just money. I hope you're motivated by more than just money. Jesus is a pretty busy man. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows he's on his way to death. He doesn't have much time left. And Jesus takes the time to talk about money today. You got to ask yourself, why would he spend precious time talking about money? And the truth is, Jesus knows wherever your money goes, your heart has already been committed to that thing. So he starts the conversation with money about a question that somebody asks him. This guy poses a question about his inheritance. Now, Jesus is a rabbi. He knows that the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament describe how a person's inheritance is supposed to be done. Jesus can judge in this issue if he chooses to, but he decides not to. Why not? Because this guy, his heart was in the wrong place. He was looking for somebody to make his life better, but he wasn't looking to Jesus for a savior. He was looking for somebody to mediate between brother and brother, between man and man. And Jesus is in essence saying to us today, that's not why I came. I didn't come to make better laws and to make life better for you to die in. That's not what I came for. I came as a mediator between God and man. I came to rescue you at the soul level, not to just straighten up a few things in your life. And Jesus gives this analogy today. He tells us to beware. I told you last week, when Jesus says that word, sit on the edge of your seat and pay attention. He's warning us about greed today. And he's warning us, notice the phrase, about every kind of greed. So I just want to challenge you, if you're one of those people that think, well, only rich people are greedy because they have a lot and they don't share what they have with everybody else, that's just not true. I mean, there's certainly this Ebenezer Scrooge type of greed, but that's not the only type of greed that Jesus is dealing with today. I mean, you can be the poorest of the poor and still be greedy. In fact, I did a little Bible word study this week, and the word that Jesus uses here for greed is literally translated the word more. It's when you want more and more and more. Maybe you're in the super rich and you don't want to share what you have with anybody else because you want more and you keep wanting more. Maybe you're in the poorest of the poor and you just want what your next door neighbor has. And as soon as your next door neighbor has more, you want more too. Maybe, and this is probably most of us in this room, maybe it's just this inability to be satisfied with what you already have. Jesus says if your life is consumed with more, and more and more, you're not ever going to be satisfied. In fact, you can't be satisfied because you were created for much more than that. You were created to be satisfied with something that money and power and possessions can never give you. You were made to be in a relationship with God, and anything less than that will not satisfy you. We can be greedy, not just about money. It can be power, it can be possessions, it can be popularity. There's a lot of ways you can be greedy. And Jesus says, your life isn't measured. If you were to add it all up to the sum total, it's not about how much you have. It's not about who dies with the most toys. That's not the measure of your life. And then Jesus gives us this story. He gives us this story about a farmer. I realize most of you aren't farmers in this room, and so I asked the ushers and the greeters to give you all a piece of corn. Does everybody have a kernel of corn? You got it there in your hand. Hold on to it for just a second because we're going to go back to this kernel of corn a couple of times today. This is deer corn. I'm not a hunter. I don't know the first thing about deer corn, but I do know you're not supposed to eat it. I think this is the corn that if you plant it in your garden and if you water it, a deer pops up out of the ground. I think that's what deer corn does. But Jesus uses this analogy of a farmer who has this bumper crop. I mean, this guy has been waiting his whole lifetime for the perfect weather and the perfect soil conditions to bring in the perfect crop. This crop made me rich. I don't have to work for the rest of my life. See how happy he is? He's got it all made because he's got this crop. And in the process, he forgot about God. He built the barns and he stored up all of the money. And he made himself satisfied, and he forgot about God. And Jesus says, you're a fool. God built those barns. God raised up that crop. And God gave you your very life, and tonight he's going to take it back from you. And when he takes it back from you, what do you have to show for this entire life of building up possessions? Here's the way I would put it today. Let's say that you won the lottery tomorrow. Let's say that tomorrow you not only won the lottery, but your company promoted you. You became the CEO of the corporation tomorrow. Let's say that tomorrow you won the lottery, became the CEO of the corporation, and you married a supermodel. Or for you ladies, you married an underwear model, David Beckham. Tomorrow's a pretty good day. CEO of the corporation, won the lottery, married a supermodel. I got it all. Perfect life. The analogy that Jesus is using is, let's say you get it all tomorrow. And on Friday, you die. What does it really matter? In fact, the point that Jesus is trying to make is, let's talk about what Saturday looks like for you. You get it all on Monday. Won the lottery, married a supermodel, became the CEO of the corporation. You die on Friday. What about Saturday? There is a real heaven. There is a real hell. What's Saturday going to be like for you? Jesus says, you're a fool if you're not rich towards God. If you're just being satisfied with money and possessions and power, it's foolish. It's gone in an instant. By the way, God gave it to you, and he has every right to take it back whenever he wants because it belongs to him. That's kind of what Jesus is saying today. It doesn't belong to you. So I spent some time this week praying about this question. What is the difference between just wanting to take better care of my family and being greedy? I mean, when do you really cross the line and I'm no longer trying just to take better care of my family? I've crossed over the line and I've become greedy. Well, here's a possible example for you. You spend all day long watching this television channel on cable TV, HGTV. I think it stands for House Greedy Television because basically people watch it for 6 or 8 hours a day and they sit there and they want the house that somebody else is buying and they want the house that somebody else is building and then they start looking around their house and they don't like their house anymore. They want more because of their house. That TV channel just did danger to your soul. There's nothing wrong with that TV channel, but it can endanger your soul if it makes you want more and more and more. All right, Jeff, how do I get off of this hamster wheel? How do I get off of the roller coaster? Because I've been stuck in a greedy life for a long time. Well, let me give you some very practical steps to break free from the grip of greed. If you're following along in that worship guide, here's step number one. Recognize that your greed, I use this phrase on purpose, is misplaced worship. What you're really doing is you're looking for stuff to satisfy you on the inside. And when you do that, you become the object of your own worship. Did you hear me? You become a god unto yourself. You're worshiping self when you crossed the line and became greedy. Most of us in this room are going to get up tomorrow and you're going to go to work. Why do you go to work? Is it to make a contribution? Or is it to make a paycheck? Jesus would say, hey, I give my people the privilege, I give them the ability to work. But I gave you a job so that you could make a life and make a difference, not just so that you could make money. Of course, you go to work to make money. Got to have money to live. But if the only reason you're going to work is just to make money, you're no longer making a contribution. You're not making a life. You're just making a living. Here's a word that we don't use very often and we should in our society. Be a steward of what God's given you rather than being stingy with your own money. Let me tell you the word steward for just a second because it is a word that says, what I have in my bank account does not belong to me. It belongs to somebody else. The word steward means I don't own it, somebody else owns it, and they gave me the ability to use it the way they choose that it should be used. It's not mine to begin with. And if you're struggling with the idea of being a steward of God's money, the money that's in your bank account, listen to what pastor, author, musician Glenn Packiam says about this. For a believer, poverty is not a virtue. Prosperity is not a matter, is not a problem. What matters is recognizing that we possess nothing, nothing. It all comes from God. And we are just simply God's stewards. He can do with his stuff whatever he wants to do with his stuff because it's his stuff, not my stuff. Here's a good way to try to break the grip of greed if you're struggling with it today. Show gratitude to everything that Jesus has given you. Everything that you have comes from Jesus. And when you start to become thankful for what you do have rather than longing for what you don't have, it starts to break the grip of money in your life, which is pervasive in our society. And if you've been around this church before, you've heard me say this. One of the strongest ways to break the grip of greed is to give it away, to give some of your money away, to regularly give some of your money away. I've said this before. I'll say it again. If you think I'm asking for your money because I want it, then don't give your money to this church. In fact, give it to Westminster Presbyterian Church. They don't even know that I'm saying this. Give your money to them. Give it to them regularly because I want this for you. I don't want it from you. This is healthy. It's good for your soul if you regularly practice the habit of giving some of it away because it shows it's not mine anyway. It's not mine to keep. And because God gives me the command to give some of it away, I give it away gladly so that it doesn't have control over my soul. Here's, I think, what Jesus would say in a very short statement to his people today. Be rich in God. Don't be rich in money. Don't be rich in possessions. Be rich in God. I'll put it to you this way. If King Jesus is your Lord, if he calls the shots in your life, if he's given you everything that you own, you're committing treason by keeping it for yourself and by spending it on yourself only because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus, and he's asking you to honor him with it. Hey, it's hard enough what Jesus just asked us to do about money, but it gets a lot harder what he asks us to do next. The first thing that he challenged us to do is to put our wealth in God's hands. Now his challenge, and this is really, really, really hard, is to put your worry in God's hands. Here's the second thing, if you're following along. Would you put tomorrow in God's hands and trust him with it? Because Jesus patiently, delicately deals with his people on this one, because chances are all of us in this room have struggled with this or are struggling with this right now. Listen to these two very practical examples that Jesus gives his people here. Then turning to his disciples, remember first he was talking about money to the crowd. Now he talks to the church. He turns to his disciples and Jesus said this. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Notice the phrase everyday life. It would have been easier on us today if he's dealing with the big once in a lifetime stuff, but he's not. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For your life is more than food and your body is more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns like that other guy I just told you about. For God feeds them. And you are far more valuable. You are infinitely more valuable to God than any birds. Can all of your worry add a single moment, the smallest point in time? Can you add 1 second to your life with all of your worry? Of course, the answer is no. And then Jesus says, if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, then what's the use of worrying about the bigger things? Look at the lilies of the field, second example, and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing, yet Solomon, the richest man in the Bible, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and then thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything that you need. And don't be afraid. Listen to how patient, how delicate Jesus is. Don't be afraid, little flock. Look at this phrase up on the screen for just a second. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. I'll read it again. You're worried about the little stuff, about food and about clothing. Listen to what Jesus says. Your Father takes great pleasure, great happiness in giving you his kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need, and this will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old and develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Jesus is talking about everyday life. He's talking about food and about clothing. And when he says everyday life, he uses the phrase your soul. Don't worry about your soul. If you were here last week, Jesus said, are you stressed out about what men can do to your body? Don't worry about it. Worry about the one who has your body and your soul, heaven and hell in his hands. And when he has you in the palm of his hand, you don't have to worry about food and about clothing and about the everyday stuff of life. Jesus is asking us, examine your heart. Are you stressed out? Did you lose your peace because you're worried about paying the bills? Because that's not the life Jesus wants for his people. There are some things in life that are just not worthy of your worry. And it would have been easier on us if Jesus said, don't worry about the big car, don't worry about the big promotion, don't worry about building the bigger house, don't worry about that. God's got all of that. But he makes it a lot harder on us today when he says, don't even worry about your food tomorrow. Don't worry about clothing tomorrow. Jesus, I got to feed my family. I got to have clothes to wear to school or to work tomorrow. Jesus says, you don't have to worry about it. God's got it all covered. He's got it all taken care of. And I'll give you two examples. The ravens. Did you know that ravens are unclean birds? The Jews don't even eat those birds. And Jesus says, God takes care every day, tomorrow morning, where the ravens, they don't worry about food. God gives them food to eat. They know he's going to give them food to eat. These lilies that he's talking about are wildflowers. Literally, at the end of the growing season, they die out. The Jews bundle them up and they throw them in the oven for firewood. Jesus says, if he takes care of the unclean birds, if he handles the wildflowers, certainly he's going to give you what you need when you need it, if you'll just simply trust him. So don't let those things bother you. Don't let those things hold you back. Now, here's why I wanted you to hang on to this kernel of cord. Hang on to it for just a second. Look, with all of our modern advancements in science, with all of the collective genius of humanity, nobody tomorrow can make the sun shine on a kernel of corn. Plant it in the ground. Do all of you can to make a kernel of corn grow. You cannot turn that kernel of corn into that. You can't make the sun come up tomorrow. All of us collectively can't do that. You can't make it rain tomorrow on that kernel of corn on the ground that's going to turn it into that. None of us have the power to do that. Look, with all of our scientific advancements, we can't control the temperatures. If it gets too hot, the corn burns up. Gets too cold, the corn freezes. Jesus says, every year you plant corn in the ground, corn comes up. You didn't have anything to do with that. God did that. With all of our advancements in science, you and I cannot take a kernel of corn and turn it into that. So why are you worried? Why are you so stressed out? Basically, with our modern advancements in science, here's the best that you and I can do with a kernel of corn. That's about as good as it's going to get on our own power. And Jesus says, why would you allow your heart to be consumed with worry when you have no control over the weather and the temperatures, and the rains, and the worry? Don't let it bother you. Don't let it drive you crazy. And if God's got the flowers, if he's got the birds in the palm of his hand, he definitely has you in the palm of his hand. And I love the phrase that we read today. He takes great pleasure. Your Father enjoys giving you his kingdom. The thing that you need most, he wants to give it to you more than you want it from him. So why are you worried about the small stuff? Don't sweat the small stuff when he's ready to give you the big stuff. And what Jesus would say to us today is that the heart of the issue is really an issue of the heart. Whatever you're spending your time worrying about, it's dominating your thoughts. Instead of spending your time worried about money and worried about the bills, why don't you spend your time focused on him and who he is and what he's done for you? And then you'll start to find peace and joy again that worry has been stealing from you. So let me just give you a couple of very practical tips on how to be free from worry, how to be worry-free. Here's the first one. Recognize that worry is an attempt at control. You're essentially trying to control something that you have no control over. You can't make the sun rise tomorrow by your worry. You can't make the rains fall. You can't make the temperatures change by your worry. You have no control over that. And if you're a farmer, it's going to be really hard to get up tomorrow and not worry about the sun or the rain or the temperatures. But it's out of your control. And I would just put it to you this way. Worry is, in essence, playing God, because you're trying to control something that's out of your control. So recognize, worry is just an attempt at control. Let me tell you how Glenn Packiam puts this. When everything is the Lord's, nothing is really yours. And when nothing is really yours, you have nothing to lose. I mean, it's liberating for God's people. I would take this a step further and to say, you have nothing to worry about when everything belongs to the Lord, because it's not yours and it's not yours to lose. So don't worry. Step number two, understand that your worry makes Jesus look bad. I wrote this way on purpose. If I were to follow you around and I didn't know Jesus and I saw you all day long, every day, stressed out about life, here's what I would start to ask you. Does Jesus not know what you're going through, or does he not care about you? Because if he knows what you're going through and if he cares about you, why are you worried so bad? It has the potential to make an unbeliever, it make Jesus look bad to an unbeliever if you spend every day, all day long worried. Be on your guard against self-inflicted worry. If you're the guy or the gal out there that just bought a brand new luxury car and you know you couldn't afford it and now you're stressed out about paying the bills and worried that you're going to lose the car, you probably are going to lose the car. And you know what? Maybe it's a good thing that you lose the car, because when the bank repossesses it, now you can buy a car that you can afford and not worry about paying the bills. That's what I refer to as self-inflicted worry. It's like a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Stop worry. Look at this progression here on the screen. Stop worry before it becomes anxiety, which can lead to depression. Now, I'm going to be honest. There is a clinical medical condition called depression. It's a psychological condition that needs mental health professional care. That's not what I'm referring to on the screen. I'm referring to you start down the road to worry, and that worry crosses the line to become anxiety, and then pretty soon anxiety becomes self-induced depression because your life is out of control and you're struggling to control it. And Jeff, you've given me a lot of things that you're telling me not to do up there, but you haven't told me how to do it yet. Well, here's the last one. Learn to be content. This is something that every one of us have to work on. You have to learn it. You trust Jesus today, and he shows himself today to be trustworthy. And then tomorrow you build on that trust, and you trust him a little bit more, and he shows you tomorrow he's a little bit more trustworthy. And the next day you build on that trust, and so on and so on. Here's how one of the greatest Christians in the Bible put it. When he was in prison and should have been freaking out with fear and stressed out with worry, here's how the Apostle Paul puts this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry. This is a guy who's in prison when he's writing this, and he's not worried. And you say, okay, Paul, that's easy to say. Tell me how you did that. Well, just a few verses later, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, here's how he does it. Here's how he does it. He says, not that I'm speaking about being in need, for I have learned, notice this phrase, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. That's the secret to breaking worry in your life. Maybe I have a little tomorrow. Maybe I have a lot tomorrow in whatever situation I'm in. Whatever Jesus chooses to give me tomorrow, I'm going to be content, and I'm going to be content in him because I'm not living for here. I'm living for the hereafter. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm living for that, not for the stuff that you can get right here, right now. Each week when we present the Bible to you, we challenge you to take the next step. Don't just hear it. Put it into effect. Here's some possible next steps for us today. Maybe you're that person that came to church for the first time and you're struggling with worry. You're dealing with greed because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a second, I'm going to explain to you how you can nail this one down once and for all. But for many of us in this room, maybe you've been dealing with worry. You see that little minus symbol up there? Maybe you've been dealing with worry, and this is the week that you're going to trust Jesus for peace. And you're going to put worry back in its proper place. See that little plus symbol up there? Maybe this week you're going to use your resources, whatever God gives you. You're a steward of it. It belongs to him, not to you. And you're going to make an investment in heaven with the resources that you have here and now. Whatever it is that the Lord is speaking to you about, would you please listen to his Holy Spirit? And would you take the next steps this morning? I want you to bow. Let me say a prayer for us, and then we'll listen to the Lord and respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. Let's pray together. Father, you know how simple it is. You know how easy it is for us to slip into the stress of worry, for us to be able to want more and more and more, because everywhere we look around us, people are just getting more, and it's natural. It's easy for us to want more. Forgive us when we've fallen into that trap. God, would you help your people this week? Like Jesus patiently dealt with his disciples in this passage today, would you help us to trust you for peace, to put the control that we're struggling for back in your hands and to say, God, we believe you're big enough to handle it. Forgive us for trying to take that control away from you and in the process for ruining our own peace. We give it back to you. God, where people are struggling with greed, and only you know this, and only they know this, but where people in this church today are struggling with greed, would you help them to break the grip of greed by giving some of what you've given them away and showing you that you really do have first place in their life? When they're willing to give up their money for you, chances are they're willing to give up everything else for you. But Father, I really pray for somebody in this room who maybe has been struggling with worry, struggling with greed their whole life, and they can't get over it because they really just don't know Jesus personally as Lord and Savior. Would you cause them right now, simply in a prayer in the silence of their heart, between them and you, to nail this down once and for all? Would you help them to just simply say, God, I am a sinner. I've self-inflicted my own worry and my own greed, and it's ruining me from the inside out. And I realize I can't clean this up. I can't fix it myself. I need you to step in and to change me and to make me a new man or a new woman. And so right here, right now, just between me and you, God, I'm doing business with you. I'm turning from my sins. And I'm trusting Jesus. I'm trusting his death on the cross as payment for my sins. I'm trusting his resurrection as the promise of eternal life. From this moment forward, he's my king. He calls the shots. Everything belongs to him. From this moment forward, I'll follow him. Wherever he leads me, I'll go. God, I just want peace like a river. I want to know that I have this joy of being in the palm of my Father's hand, a Father who loves me and takes great pleasure in giving me his kingdom. God, would you bless your people? Would you speak to your people today? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.